The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
This is Palmore. Praise the Lord for that. Isn't that a blessing? You know, it's neat to be in a church where people use their talents for the Lord. We have several family groups that sing, and that is fantastic. And then we have, of course, the variational type of groups that sing. And then I think five choirs or something like that, five choirs. And so I turn around because I don't remember. And that is wonderful. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Look at verse 11 and 12, if you would, please. Where the Bible says, and every priest standeth daily ministering, it says, and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices. All right, now what is the sufficiency of that? Well, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, watch it very carefully, the Bible says here, which cannot take away sins. But then it says this, but this man, and by the way, this man, is talking about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Bible says, but this man, can I emphasize that one more time? You ready? The Bible says, but this man, you got that? It says, but this man, listen to it now. It says, after he had offered one sacrifice, it says, for sins forever set down. Now, why did he set down? Because it's done. He doesn't have to stand like the priest offering daily sacrifices that does not wash away the sins of man. No, once he did it, it's done. So what did he do? Well, by the way, what do you do when your work is done? I don't know what you do, but I know what I do. I have a certain chair in my house that when I finish my work, that chair calls me. Knows my first name, knows my middle initial, knows my last name, and it calls me. And so I'll go outside, I'll be working on the fence, or I'll be working in the yard, and all of a sudden I'll walk in the house, and all of a sudden that lazy boy, that's what it's called, that lazy boy recliner rocking chair says, Michael. And by the way, doesn't have to call me twice. Because can I tell you, I'm right there. All right? Now, here's what happened. He sat down. Now, that means it's done. That means it's finished. That means the job has been complete. Now, here's what it says. The Bible says right here, it says, sat down. Now, where does he sit? He sat down on the right hand of God. So that means that all sufficiency is found in Jesus Christ. You know, that's why you don't read in your Bible what can wash away my sins, nothing but the works of man. That's not what it says. Matter of fact, come up here, would you? Turn this on, Brother Mason, if you will, and grab your hymn book. Stay seating, but I want you to sing this song with us this morning. And what page is it? 43. Page 43. Let's sing it together, and I'll get right back in the message. But listen to the words of this song as a believer. And by the way, you listen to me, it'll probably make you want to shout. Because once you're saved, you're always saved. But yeah, you're saved by the blood of Jesus. Yeah. And let's sing it together. Just one verse, yeah.
First verse only, page 43.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow.
So here's what he did. He laid his blood down at the mercy seat. He did what he was supposed to do, and then he sat down. Now, can I tell you, did you ever wonder what happened to our sin? I mean, if for the believer, you and I have our sins washed away, where do they go? I mean, sometimes I'll send a text message, you know, and the person I send the text message to, they don't get it for a week.
Yes.
I've often wondered, haven't you? Where'd it go? Why did it take so long? I mean, they were sitting right next to me in the chair. And they didn't get it for a week. Well, while it was out there, where'd it go? You know, we understand that in the Garden of Eden, that Satan came, and he came very subtly, and he deceived Eve. But then Adam made a choice. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So Adam made a choice. And by the way, you have choices too. You decide what you want to do with your sin. You decide what you want to do with your living. You decide what you want to do with your Lord. But when you receive Jesus Christ as Savior, can I tell you, He takes care of one of those things. He takes care of your sin. So what takes place with that sin? Let me give you some statements. Where does my sin not go? You ever think about that? Where does it not go? Well, I'll tell you a couple places it doesn't go. They aren't in the mind of God. My sins are not in the mind of God. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 34, the latter portion of the verse, the Bible says, "For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." So, all of a sudden, stand up, Brother Wesolowski, if you will. Brother Jonathan, you're the sinner. And so, Brother Wesolowski represents the Lord, and Brother Jonathan represents the sinner. Brother Jonathan gets on his knees on the carpet here, and that's where most sinners like to kneel, is on carpet. And so, he gets on his knees, and he says, "Dear God, please forgive me of," and he names it. Okay? And then God, in his mercy, forgives him. Now, he can rise up, and he can be justified before God. Now, wait a minute, watch this. So all of a sudden, he starts feeling bad about that sin that he went to God for yesterday. Same sin, but he feels pretty bad about it. You ever do that? You ever feel so bad about something, you feel like you need to go back to your parents and apologize over and over and over again? You ever feel so bad about it that it just kind of haunts you a little bit? And you say, "Boy, I tell you what, Mom, Daddy, would you forgive me again? Would you just forgive me again?" All right. So the next day, he's feeling mighty bad about it. And so he gets back on his knees again. Notice I picked a young guy to do this. And so he gets back, and Brother Palmore says, "Thank you very much." But he gets on his knees again. And he comes back to God the very next day. And he says to God, "Would you please forgive me?" And he names the sin. He's not committed the sin again, but he names the sin again. And Brother Wesolowski knows his Bible. And so God looks down at him and says, "What sin? What sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore." Yeah. Hello. And so we understand this, that once a person comes and you confess your sin to a holy God, here's what takes place. God remembers your sin no more. Now, man doesn't do that, but God does. All right? Oh, wait a minute. Watch this. Be seated. I'll use you again a little bit. And so here's what we understand. We understand that God in His mercy forgives our sin. That's how come Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34, I read just a moment ago, where it says, "For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin." Listen to it, dear beloved friend. No more. No more. No more. Now, you can get happy about that. Yes, even being a Baptist, you can get happy about that. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12, the Bible says, "And I will be merciful," it says, "to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities." Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12, "will I remember no more." Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 17, the Bible says, "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." You say, why in the world did God put that in the Bible three times? Because sometimes, just like your mom and daddy has to tell you something three times, it takes you a little while to catch on. All right? So God said, "I just want to make sure that you catch on to this." Now, by the way, He's omniscient. He remembers and has the right to remember all things, but He, being God who loves you so very much, chooses not to remember your sins. Now, and so the Bible teaches where our sins are not. They are not in the mind of God. Where is our sins? Well, Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6. The Bible says that they're not on my account. They're not on my account. The Bible says, Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6, the Bible says, "And all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. All right? And so, where is my sins? Well, they're not on my account. He has taken them to his own account. When Jesus took the sin of all humanity on himself, what took place? Yes, even God the Father could not look on his own beloved Son. Why? Because he'd taken the sin of all humanity on himself on the cross. Now, can I tell you, when he did that, he took the sin of humanity on himself because he had no sin of his own. All right? And so if Brother Butler, who appreciates me and loves me as his pastor and has told me many, many countless of times and has showed that, as others have as well, so many countless of times. But if Brother Butler decides that one day what he's going to do is he is going to die for me. And so he erects this big old cross in my front yard. First off, my neighbors would think he's crazy. But he does something even more crazy. And he erects that cross in my front yard, and he goes out there, and he gets one of my neighbors to nail him to the cross. I mean, boy, it just becomes a bloody mess right in the front of my front yard and messes my grass all up. And here he is. And so he nails himself to the cross. Now, can I tell you, that doesn't do a thing, because one sinner dying for another sinner is nothing. There has to be a Savior. There has to be a Savior that was sinless. There has to be a Savior that was perfect. There has to be a Savior that had no sin of his own, but took upon him the sin of all humanity and bore the sins of the world on himself. Now, who did that? None other than Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the perfect, sinless Son of God. Even John the Baptist knew it. John the Baptist was baptizing in the River Jordan. All of a sudden, he saw over the crest of the Jordan bank, one that he was familiar with. And he stopped, and he looked, and he pointed, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that cometh to take away the sins of the world." You see, that's why we're a soul winning church. You see, that's why we run buses. That's why we have a track rack. That's why we pass out tracts. That's why we support missionaries. Right. That's why we do what we do. We don't do it just because it's a religious now and now in order to be able to become something. No, we do it because the gospel of Christ is real. We do it because there's a lost and dying world out there that you and I, as believers in Christ, have a given mandate from God himself to be able to take Jesus Christ into a lost and dying world and show them their need of Christ, because only through Jesus Christ can we have forgiveness of sin. Jesus is speaking in the book of John, chapter 14 and verse 6, where he says, he says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." So it's not Jesus Christ and being good. It's not Jesus Christ and being baptized. It's not Jesus Christ and going to church. It's not Jesus Christ and keeping five of the seven sacraments. It's not Jesus Christ and obeying the Ten Commandments given in Exodus 20 three of the Ten Commandments. It's not Jesus Christ and lighting candles. It's not Jesus Christ and speaking in tongues. It's not Jesus Christ and becoming religiously affiliated with the Baptist Church, a Methodist church, a Mormon church, a Seventh-day Adventist church, a Christian Science church, a Muslim synagogue, or are becoming Jewish in your persuasion. No, no, it's Christ and Christ alone. That's why the Bible says, "I am," as Jesus is speaking, "the way, the truth, and the life." He's not one of the ways. Oh, don't get it confused. You work with somebody in downtown Dallas, and you work in an office center, and they say, "Well, I think that I'll go to heaven because I have religious intentions." Their religious intentions will cause them to wind up burning in hell. It's not religious intentions. "Well, I think I'm going to go to heaven because I identify myself as a Catholic or as a Mormon or as a whatever else is out there." No. By the way, you're not even going to go to heaven because you're a Baptist. I was pastoring in Tennessee, and I was out soul winning, knocking doors, when I pastored the Union City Baptist Temple in Union City, Tennessee. I was out soul winning, knocking doors. And I knocked the door of this man, and he said, "Oh, I go down to Calvary Baptist Church right down here." I said, oh, I know Calvary Baptist Church. It was right there on the main drag there. And I said, well, that's neat. How long have you been going there? And he said, oh, I've been going there for, probably upward to 30 years. I said, well, isn't that so neat? That's just wonderful. I'm so proud of you. And most people, they don't go to church like that. And so are you a regular attender? Oh, he said, preacher, I'm not just a regular attender. I'm a deacon. I said, well, how about that? Put her there. You're a deacon? I don't get to shake the hands of many deacons. And put her right there. And so we shook hands. And I said, now, let me ask you a question. Are you a good deacon or a bad deacon? He said, well, I'm a good deacon. I said, oh, I'll put her there again. I've not met too many good deacons. I said, let me ask you another question. Are you a saved deacon or a lost deacon? He said, oh, preacher, I'm a saved deacon. I said, put her right there again. That is so good. So I found myself a deacon, true blue. I found myself a good deacon, true blue. I found myself a saved deacon. But let me ask you about that last thing there. If I wanted to be saved and I was your friend, what would you tell me to do? Because you see, friend, the word saved is a very general terminology nowadays, very well accepted among all religious groups. So I'm not trying to be nosy. I'm just trying to help. So if I was your friend and I wanted to go to heaven, just on friendship basis now, well, tell me what I need to do. And he said, well, preacher, you ought to know that. You're a preacher. And I said, yes, and you ought to know that. You're a deacon. Amen. So as a friend, if you don't mind, help me out a little bit. Let's say that I'm about to die and I want to go to heaven. What would you tell me to do? And he said, well, you need to be good. You ought to know that. And I said, well, anything else? And he said, well, you ought to be faithful to church. You ought to know that. I said, well, anything else? And he said, well, you need to be baptized in that church that you love so much. Now, by the way, this was a Baptist deacon in a Baptist church. I said, okay, anything else? And he named a couple of other things. Well, I said, now, do you believe the Bible? He said, oh, you know I do. I'm a deacon. I said, I'm glad you believe the Bible. Now let's go to the Bible and see what the Bible says, because after all, I sure do like you. I just want to make sure that you line up with God. And I'm sure you being a deacon as you are, you do want to line up with God. He said, oh, yes, I do. I took the Bible and I showed him he was lost without Jesus Christ. I showed him the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift. I showed him, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. I showed him, for by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I showed him all the way through the scriptures. I showed him he couldn't get to heaven by works. And all of a sudden the tears started to trickle down this old deacon's face. And he said, I don't have it, do I? I said, well, I can't tell you that. I don't know. Maybe you had your words mixed up. I don't know. I said, I'm not here to judge you. I'm here to help you. And he said, I just don't have it, do I? I said, now you tell me. Do you have it? He that hath the Son hath everlasting life. Do you have him? He said, no, I don't. I said, what I suggest that you do right now, since you understand that, and you understand that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, but he wants to be your Savior, what I suggest you do right now is allow me to simply lead you in a prayer like a child faith of believing in him and ask him personally to be your Savior. Would you like to do that? He said, oh, I most certainly would. And so he bowed his head. He asked Jesus to be a Savior. And then that old Baptist deacon gave me a hug. I'd never been hugged by a deacon before. I had lots of things that happened in that household that I never had happen before. All right, now can I tell you, he knew that he could not get to heaven because he was a deacon. He knew he could not get to heaven because he was a Sunday school teacher. We had a lady down in our church, and when I was an evangelist for 12 years, we were most of those years out of the Grace Independent Baptist Church in Ocean Springs, Mississippi. And we had a deacon's wife that was in the hospital. Well, years ago, Brother Ray put these books out, Mike Ray did, called One Step at a Time, and lost, of course, some of it. And I had hired some secretaries, and they worked on them and got them back the way they should be and stuff. And so anyway, I had those books, you see. And so whenever I go to the hospital, by the way, you want to get a book from me? Go get in the hospital. Whenever I go to the hospital, I always take them books. You know why? Because hospitals are boring. And so I always take them books. And so it's been something I've been doing for 20 years. And so I gave her some books. And it was the One Step at a Time series of the very first ones, Assurance of Salvation. Deacon's wife now, mind you, deacon's wife. And she got that book, and she read that book, Brother Palmore. And when she read that book, she said, I could not put it down, over and over again. She said, oh, she said, there was great conviction, and I could not put it down because I knew that I needed Jesus Christ. And in the hospital bed, she bowed her heart and she received Jesus Christ. Oh, I was preaching up in North Carolina. I was preaching a revival meeting. And all of a sudden, there walks a 62-year-old woman down the aisle. Been Sunday school teacher for 22 years. She met me at the end of the aisle, met the pastor there, and said this. She said, I've been Sunday school teacher for 22 years, preacher. She said, but I'm not saved. And God got me tonight. And I need to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. Now, can I tell you, just because you're a church member doesn't mean you're saved. Just because you're a Sunday school teacher doesn't mean you're saved. Just because you sing in the choir doesn't mean you're saved. Just because you play a piano or an organ in a Baptist church doesn't mean that you're saved. Just because you're an usher doesn't mean you're saved. Just because you work up here as a soul winner doesn't mean you're saved. Just because you work as an altar worker doesn't mean you're saved. Just because you sing in a special doesn't mean you're saved. Just because you put money in the offering plate does not mean you're saved. Hey, can I tell you? He that hath the Son hath everlasting life, and only in Jesus Christ can you have eternal salvation. Now, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Can I tell you, when sin came into this world, there was a great separation between a holy God and a sinner such as I. But Jesus Christ is the one that shed his blood to wash away that sin division. Now, where is it not? Sin is not in the mind of God. Sin is not on my account. Sin is not waiting for me at the judgment seat. I heard a preacher say this one day, erroneously wrong. But here's what he said. He said, when you go to the judgment seat of Christ, one day God's going to flash all of your sins before all humanity to see it. The only problem was he didn't know his Bible. The Bible doesn't talk about that. The Bible talks about your sin as a believer will be judged here and now. Okay? Then we see this. Where is my sin? Or where are my sins? Let me tell you where they are, and I'll give it to you, and I'm done. The Bible talks about they're covered by the blood of Jesus. Notice this. Look in your Bible. We're in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9. Look, if you will, in verse 12 through 14. We're in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verses 12 through 14. It says, neither by the blood of goats and calves. It says, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if by the blood of goats, or by the blood of bulls, it says, and of goats, and it says, and the ashes of a heifer and the sprinkling of unclean, it says, sanctifieth, it says, through the purifying of his flesh, it says, how much more, listen to it now, shall the blood of Christ, it says, through the eternal Spirit, watch it now, offered himself, it says, without spot to God. It says, purge your conscience, it says, from dead works, it says, to serve the living God. So Jesus Christ is the one that washes away our sin. He's the one that covers our sin. So your sins are covered by the blood of Christ. And so, Jonathan, you're the youngest one here, and so let me help you to help me, okay? Kneel down, if you will. And so what happens is when your sin is covered by God, they are covered. They are covered. Now, when God in heaven, stay with me now, when God in heaven looks down, he sees your sin is covered by his Son's own blood. Okay? When man looks up and still sees man.
Yes.
See, that's how come we have trouble forgiving people that God has already forgiven, because we don't see them through God's eyes. We only see them through our eyes. So somebody cheats on you, hurts you, somebody steals from you, somebody, if you will, it's harder for me to forgive. Now, I'm going to tell you why, because I'm human. Somebody steals from me, I don't want to give, or I don't want to trust them again. Now, the only way that I can trust them is to allow God to build trust in me so that God can teach me to trust through him working through me. Okay? I can't forgive him, but I can allow, stay with my thought, I can't forgive him, but I can allow God to forgive him through me. I can allow God to use me as a vessel to forgive him. I've met many young people that say, well, I'm bitter at my parents because my parents, I said, you've never forgiven them.
Right.
You keep bringing it up over and over and over again. You have never forgiven them. Yeah. If you would forgive them, you'd stop bringing it up. But because you keep bringing it up over and over and over again, you've never forgiven them. Oh, and it'll come out. It always comes out. Well, I just can't forgive them because of what they did. Well, maybe you can't, but you can allow God to forgive them through you.
Well, amen.
And so by doing, as that comes through your veins, yea, comes through you as a person, you might even catch on to some of it. All right? Now watch this, okay? Here it is. All right? And you can get up now. Thank you. And all right, so where is my sins? They are covered by the blood of Jesus. Where is my sins? Here it is. They're in the bottom of the sea. Bottom of the sea. I'm going to hurry, but I want you to listen to it. Micah chapter 7 and verse 19, the Bible says, and I will turn again, it says, and he will have a compassion upon us, and he will subdue our iniquities. The Bible says, and thou will cast them, it says, all their sins into the depths of the sea. All right, so I don't know if you've ever been to the bottom of the sea. I haven't. I don't want to. Somebody asked me the other day, preacher, did you learn to swim? Never did. I was never around water much. I learned to ride horses. I learned a little bit about roping, but I never learned to swim. I just wasn't around water that much to care about it. All right? So you say, preacher, what would happen if somebody threw you into the sea? Well, then I would find out what the depths of the sea really is like because I'd sink like a rock. All right, now wait a minute, watch this, okay? And so they're placed in the bottom of the sea. Statement number next, where is my sin? They've been removed as far from the east as to the west. Psalm 103 and verse 12, the Bible says, as far as east is from the west, so far hath he removed our iniquities from us. Now, how can you measure the east from the west? How can you do that? You'll never be able to do that. And so that's how far they are removed. Where's my sins? Well, the Bible says that they're placed upon Christ. But God committed his love toward us. And while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Okay? Now, and so can I tell you that Jesus Christ is the one that bore my sins on his own body. Jesus Christ is the sin bearer. Jesus Christ becomes the mediator. There's one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. And so I have one mediator. I don't have to go to a bunch of men and confess my sins. No. I'm supposed to go to one. And that one is the Lord Jesus Christ. I can go to him. I can confess my sin, and he will forgive. I'm talking about practical sin. Practical sin. All right, let me help you. Go back down again, please, if you will. Now, here's what happens. Here's what happens. Okay, he gets saved. I try and help you to make sense out of it. So he gets saved, and God covers him with his own blood. There it is, right there. And wasn't that done so good? And so he gets saved. I've always wanted to cover up a youth director. And so he gets saved. And all right, now wait a minute. And so what takes place is my sin, past, present, future, is forgiven.
Amen.
Is forgiven. All right, now, but wait a minute. He got saved and he didn't die. And he's a sinner. And sinners do sin. So now I'm confused. If he forgave my past, my present, and my future sin, then why is it that I need to go to God and confess my sin? That don't make a lick of sense. I picked that word lick of sense up since I moved to Texas. Aren't you proud of me? I still say you guys, but you pray for me. And so here's what happens, all right? And so his sins is forgiven throughout all eternity. All right, now I got to help you a little bit because you got to see what you're doing. Now he looks like a monk, all right? And so here's what, stand up if you will. We'll try and make sense of this. Okay, so here we go. And so his sins are forgiven, all right? So he's going to go to heaven. Now he's going to go to heaven because God, through his precious son, covered him with his sin. But here he goes. He goes over and he meets up with Brother Butler. And they go out sinning. That's what they do. They go out sinning. And by the way, if you want to go out sinning with somebody, meet up with Brother Butler. He'll show you how to do it. And I'm kidding. But here they go out sinning. All right. Now, as they go out sinning, here's what takes place. As they go out sinning, is he still saved? Yeah. Because once you're born into the family of God, you are still a child of God. You do not lose, stay with me now, your sonship. You don't lose your relationship. Here's what you lose. You lose your fellowship. Okay? All right? So he goes over here and they get themselves a beer or something. I don't know what they drink. And I'm kidding, they don't. But they drink a beer, all right? And they get as drunk as a skunk on a rug. And then what happens, okay? Then they start saying bad words or whatever. And so what happens is now there is, the fellowship is broken. Now he's still going to go to heaven. Well, why is he going to go to heaven? Because he that hath the Son hath everlasting life. Hey, Jesus laid down himself one time, I said, one time for the world. All right. So he doesn't have to receive Christ over and over again. That's why your Bible says you must be born again. It does not say you must be born again and again and again and again. So it's not a perpetual state of being. It's one time only. So when I receive Jesus, I'm saved. But can I tell you, I'm not sanctified. Hello? You say, oh, preacher, we had a son, we had a daughter. And they're just an angel. Yeah, they got you fooled. Just because they're your child does not necessarily mean that they're always going to be perfect. But even though they sin against you, that does not change their sonship. That doesn't change their daughtership. They're still a part of the family. They were born into your family. When I become a born-again believer, I'm birthed into the family of God. Now, let's say I go out and I do something wrong. What do I do? Well, my Bible says if I confess my sin, right. He said, that has nothing to do with him going to heaven, but it has everything to do with his relationship, his fellowship, if you will. His fellowship has everything to do with his fellowship. Okay? He's still the Son of God. Still the Son of God. That never changed. Jesus shed his blood so that he could go to heaven. He received Jesus as Savior. He that hath the Son hath everlasting life. Amen. That never changes. All right, but now he goes out and he does something tomfoolery and he sins. Now what does he do? He goes to God the Father through Jesus Christ and says, God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I shouldn't have did that. Now as soon as he does that, God forgives him. Now what happens? Now there's good fellowship. My Bible says as long as you hide iniquity in your heart, the Lord will not hear you. The reason some of you are not getting your prayers answered is because you're playing around with too much sin. Right. You get rid of your sin. You go to God. You get with God and you let God take care of that sin. Hey, you'll have a better relationship with God. All right? Now, wait a minute. But it doesn't change his sonship. Amen. It does change his fellowship. See, so if I want to get my prayers answered, then I come to God and say, I get on my knees, and you don't have to get on your knees, but it's good for you. But I get on my knees and I come and I say, dear God, please forgive me because don't blame it on somebody else. Please forgive me. It was Brother Butler's fault. And he connived me. And no. Confess your sin. Doesn't say his sin. Your sin. All right, now what happens is there is positionally, once you receive Jesus Christ as Savior, he covers you by his blood. You're covered by the blood. All right, you're welcome. And all right, but now can I tell you, listen, practically, you need to work every day in keeping your relationship right with the Lord. Amen. So positionally, he's going to go to heaven. Right. But practically, God expects you to live like it. Hello. All right, you get that by and by. Thank you. Be seated. Watch this, if you will. Yeah, you can be seated too. And you can take your hoodie off. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that when you're saved, God washes away your sin. That sin is forever gone. When I received Jesus Christ way back in 79, and I received Christ as Savior, that day it settled it forever, dear friend. It is settled forever. And so I take my last breath, and when I do that, no hurry. But when I take my last breath, then immediately after that, I go to heaven. Woo!
Amen.
You can shout about that. Amen. Now, you're not shouting because I'm going. You're shouting because you're going. And okay. And so, here's what happens. But now, all of a sudden, I sin. When I sin, I need to go to make sure that my relationship, fellowship-wise, stays right. Because I do want God to answer my prayer. Don't you? I do want to be in a right standing with God. Don't you? I do want to have the peace of God that takes up residence in my life. I don't want to always be walking around under conviction about this and under conviction about that and feeling bad about this and feeling bad about that. That's a horrible way to live. I mean, don't you want to be right with Him? So what do? We come to God in a very personal way. Say, dear God, I pray that you'd forgive me for this that I have done. And you name it. Old John Rice used to do this. Old John Rice. He would get a 3x5 card out. You can do whatever you want to do. This is what he did. And he'd write down his sins. And then he'd tear it up. After he confessed it, he'd tear it up. And then he'd go to the commode, toilet, CR, depending on where you're from. You tear it up, you put it in a commode, and you flush it. And he said, I don't want to remember them no more. It's none of man's business. So he'd flush it. Now I'm telling you, some of you got some flushing to do, amen? Make sure you're right with the Lord. Make sure. But don't you thank God that once you're saved, you're always saved?
Amen.
Don't you thank God your name's written in the book of life, sealed onto the day of redemption, the calling home of the saints, if you would. And so it's done forever. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Is yours done? Do you know for sure if you died, you go to heaven? Do you know for sure that you've received Christ as Savior? Do you know for sure what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Can you say that? Are you saved? Father, we thank you for today.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.